Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them into the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and that in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there any phrase in the creed, or one of the two creeds, I should say, that has even given you, made you crinkle your brow or just say, I suppose I should clarify. I'm not talking about the doctrinal content. It's not a sermon on doubt, nor do I want to encourage kind of questions about the creation, the incarnation, the virgin birth, resurrection, or the work of the Holy Spirit. The creeds are pretty straightforward when it talks about the facts around Jesus' life. If we're picking apart the creeds at that level, we've crossed into the realm of an old saw about Shakespeare. What you say about Shakespeare doesn't change Shakespeare. It just reveals the state of your own soul. Picking apart doctrinal lines in the creeds doesn't change the Christian faith. It just reveals something about us. So it's not those, but what I mean is, has any line ever caused you to say, "Why did they say it that way?" Or, "Is that really necessary?" I suppose the classic one would be, "He descended into hell." It isn't in the Nicene Creed that we just said. But that's an entirely different sermon. If you want to know that one, you can go to our church website and you can read my little write-up titled Notes on a Saturday. I wrote it a few years ago as a meditation on that Saturday between Good Friday and Easter. And I re-upped it again and put it back on the website. The God of God, light of light, very God part always left me scratching my head a bit. But part of that is because when I memorized it first time, I memorized it wrong. I didn't use of, but I used from. So in my childhood meditation or memorization, I made myself into an Arian. Or maybe like I joked with my daughter during catechism class when I was trying to get their natural understanding of these things, that Anna at that time seemed to be an instinctive Hindu, but I might have been an instinctive Arian. It took years of reminding myself every time I said it that it was not God from God, but God of God. But there's one phrase that still or always seemed to me troubling. According to the scriptures. At the very core of the faith, on the third day he rose again, the Nicene Creed adds, according to the scriptures. And I always asked, why? I guess you might say in those regards, I was a natural Pentecostal. Why would the central proclamation that he is risen depend upon scriptural support? If you don't believe the testimony of the women and the apostles and the church and the great cloud of witnesses, saying go read a book isn't going to change your mind. Luke's resurrection appearances all take place on one busy Easter. Early in the morning, the women return to spice the body, but they find the tomb empty and they find those angels. They hustle back and tell the disciples and probably a few others that were gathered. And Peter runs to the tomb. And Luke lets the story kind of drop there because he moves to later in the morning and into the early evening. He tells the story of Jesus walking the road to Emmaus with a pair of unnamed disciples. And when those disciples' eyes are opened and they realize who they were speaking to, they get up and run back to Jerusalem and tell everybody, just like the women did. And that's where our text today picks up. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood amongst them. And Luke has his specific emphasis. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus had their eyes opened when Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. They recognized the body of Christ, the resurrected body of Jesus in their midst when he reenacted the sacrament. The first people in Luke to really see the body, see it in the breaking of the bread. The first people to recognize the body, recognize it in one of the same ways we all do. But if Luke had left it there, it might just be some mystery cult celebration. The body that we recognize and talk about might just be a spiritual reality. So when they are talking about these things, and Jesus comes and stands amongst them, he offers them the peace that we talked about last week. But they're still frightened and startled as though they had seen a spirit. And Jesus goes to great pains to correct their understanding. This body is not just a spiritual truth. It's not just a mystery. But it's something that has flesh and bone. Those wounds are still there. See my hands and my feet, that it's I myself, touch and see. The wounds are there. The body is there. But those wounds have lost their power. They do not tie Jesus to the grave, but now they testify to the power of God. That power of God is not just limited to spiritual things. He's not just telling nice stories of the individual's spirits return to the great spirit. Yahweh is the creator. And the creation was good. More than good, he saw it and said that it was very good. In the Hebrew, tov ma'od, full of goodness. And he has come to recreate it, to renew it. Don't believe me? Do you have anything here to eat? And he took that fish and ate it before them. The creation was good. But Luke had one more thing to add. These things that Jesus had demonstrated, if your minds had been open to the law of Moses and to the prophets and the Psalms, everything that is written, and I want to pause here for a second to make it explicit, What Jesus is saying is, according to the scriptures, everything has been fulfilled. If your minds have been open, you could have known it from those scriptures all along. These things that happened, the passion and the resurrection, the teaching and the Last Supper, because God had promised them. Jesus' entire life is a fulfillment of that word of God. And it's a fulfillment that's been given to you. The Nicene Creed doesn't attach, according to the scriptures, as some kind of proof of the event. You are going to believe the resurrection the same way that we all do. You're going to see the body. You're going to see the body in the gathering. You're going to see it in the flesh and blood saints that taught you. You're going to see the body in the bread and the wine. You might even see him on your own roads to Emmaus or a road to Damascus. Because faith comes by hearing all of those witnesses. But when you do see, when your minds have been opened, God has left us a great treasure. Call it the family album, the law and the prophets and the psalms. Expanded a bit to the Gospels and the letters and that last strange book. God has given us the complete testimony about what he has been doing for us from the first day of creation. And that testimony tells us what he'd like us to be doing. You are my witnesses to these things. The repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Now, that particular gathered group was to hold off a bit. The third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, needed to come in its power, which it would shortly on Pentecost. But we all live post that. We've been baptized, and we've been clothed with that power from on high. And we've been given the family album, full of treasures, old and new. Treasures that we can bring out when the time is right, if we pay attention to the album. According to the scriptures is not a phrase meant to prove that he rose, because he is risen, but it's part of the gift. Those scriptures have been faithful in everything that they recorded from day one until right at the moment that he rose. All of them talked about Jesus and what God was doing. And all of them have witnessed to the steadfast love of God for his people and for all creation. All of them have witnessed to God's desire for peace. If we have this record of grace and mercy and love, which we have seen, we can trust. We can live by faith on the promises of that record. All of these things prior had to be fulfilled, is what Jesus told them. And all of the things that scriptures promise will be fulfilled. Our sins are forgiven now. The kingdom of God starts now. Jesus is at the right hand now. He does his pleading for us from there. Now, not yet has this kingdom been brought to its final fulfillment. He will come again in glory. Not yet, he will judge the living and the dead. We look for the resurrection of the dead. We know that we shall rise just as he is, just not yet. Because we look for the life of the world to come. These things all happen according to the scriptures. And they've never been wrong before. The only man ever to come back from the dead swears by the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. As Luther ends every explanation on the creed, this is most certainly true. It's true because we've seen parts. And it's true because the parts we haven't seen yet, we can know by faith. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your hearts? We can touch and see. We can look at the family album. We know that God's got the whole world in his hands. It will all be made tov ma'od. Very good. Amen.